Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 300. This is Proverbs chapter 21. Wow, I don't know about you and your world, but in my world, in North Carolina, and among my, I guess, friends, I'm realizing that God has brought me into the presence of many wonderful godly women, and it's so exciting. There are things brewing that through God's people that are so exciting, and I'm not even sure, I really can't tell you about them yet. I want to make sure that they get good traction first, but they are definitely of the Lord. And if you see that as well, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the Lord is active and the Word is active, and those who seek to please Him and do kingdom work are becoming so emboldened and empowered. And I really believe that we are at a precipice of just God's people rising up and doing things way beyond their normal capabilities, because God has shown them or communicated to them what it is that they specifically can do to serve His kingdom and serve His purpose. And so it's just so exciting to see God's people rising up and taking their places. And maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've felt that. So I just want to kind of tell you where my heart is with that. And there's so much going on. I cannot wait to share it with you, but I don't think it's time just yet. But very exciting. But anyway, so Proverbs 21. Today I went to my study Bible and kind of look, because I had a couple questions about a couple of these. Verse 3 says, "The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer Him sacrifices." I want to read the note from the study Bible, and then I'm going to go to a scripture as well. Okay. It says, "Sacrifices are not bribes to make God overlook our character faults. We can't exchange good behavior in one area for bad behavior in another. If our personal and business dealings are not characterized by justice, no amount of generosity when the offering plate is passed will make up for it." Okay, God knows what's in our heart. He knows, just like verse 2 says, people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. He knows what motivates us. The perfect example is back in the book of 1 Samuel. Just to give you a little background, Saul is king at the time, and the Lord told him because this is crazy. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, it says, "Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him, 'Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself.' Then he went on to Gilgal." So I do remember that. Saul set a monument of himself. So that kind of lets you know how far he'd come with his ego issues. And that's kind of out of control, right? So Samuel finally catches up to Saul. He finds him. Saul greets him cheerfully, says, "May the Lord bless you," he said. "I have carried out the Lord's command." And Samuel says, "Wait a minute. Then what is all that all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle I hear?" Samuel demanded. Verse 15 says, "It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle," Saul admitted, "but they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else." Okay, so God instructed them, Saul and his army, to kill everyone in the land. And he didn't do that. He kept animals, and he also let King, Samuel told him, "Although you may think Oh, Samuel said to Saul, "Stop, listen to what the Lord told me last night." "What did he tell you?" Saul asked, and Samuel told him, "Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribe of Israel?" I love that when it says, "although you think little of yourself." Saul is a king, and you know he goes around throwing his power all over the place. And he creates monuments to himself. So for Samuel to say that is really interesting, isn't it? That although you may think little of yourself, that tells us, you know, God talks to Samuel. Samuel is a prophet. And here he's telling him, look, I know who you really are. I know what's really down deep in there. And he reminds him, are you not the king of Israel? The Lord anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush to plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? And Saul says, but I did, I swear. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, that's his name, of the king that he let live, but I destroyed everyone else. And then they brought the animals back, but they were to destroy the animals too. Everyone, everything was to be destroyed. And I don't remember what God's instruction was about the plunder, if they could take it or not. God gives specific instructions about that as well. So here's what Samuel says to him. But Samuel replies, verse 22, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. So it was true then, and it's true now. Of course, we don't sacrifice animals, but what we do is we say, okay, God, I know you told me to do this, that, and the other thing, but I don't really want to do that. But I'll do this instead. Maybe if I do enough good works, you'll overlook the wrongs that I did and maybe the disobedience that I had. So here it is in Proverbs, a reminder that obedience trumps sacrifice, right? And you can also insert, instead of where it says sacrifice, you can insert good works, right? I'm going to read that verse again in verse 3, Proverbs 21, verse 3. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer him sacrifices. Okay. All right, moving on. Verse 5, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. That makes me think of get rich quick schemes and pyramid schemes, and we know that those always kind of tumble down, don't they? They come crashing. Somebody ends up losing a lot of money. Some people get rich from lying, which leads us to verse 6. Wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. Okay, I'm going to read something from the study Bible about that. It says, being a diligent worker does not come naturally to some people. It is a result of strong character. Don't look for shortcuts that result in inefficiency. Work hard as if in the service of God. Okay. Verse 9. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. I just thought that was funny. And it makes me wonder, you know, sometimes I wonder if Solomon's wisdom comes from experience or I mean, I know he prayed for wisdom from God, and there's a lot about bribes. He talks about bribes a lot, so I feel like there must be something going on in his court where people try to bribe him or something, because that seems to be a theme in his writings. But anyways, and you wonder if he had a quarrelsome wife, and so he's speaking from experience, or maybe he had a friend who had a quarrelsome wife, and he just learned by listening to his friend and all the issues he was having it back at home. And he decided, you know what, I think I'm going to watch that when I choose a wife, or two or three. I think he had several, I'm sure. Okay, verse, oh, and that's, similar to verse 19 that says it's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. So that's just funny. I'm sure it's true. I'm sure there's many men that can testify to that. Okay, verse 11. If you punish a mocker, the simple-minded become wise. If you instruct the wise, they will be all the wiser. I've seen that one before, maybe a little bit different. Maybe it's tweaked a little bit, but it's a similar idea. And I really want to read this from the Study Bible. It says, it is usually better to learn from the mistakes of others than from our own. We can do this by observing other people's lives and listening to their advice. So that's probably what Solomon did, right? Take counsel from others instead of plunging ahead and learning the hard way. I'm telling you, I always had to learn the hard way. So me, I guess you could have called me a simple-minded person. I'm getting better. And that's the thing that God's been teaching me these last couple of years, is that to stop plunging. I've told you that I just dive into the deep end. That's so right up my wheelhouse when this says plunging ahead, literally plunging into the pool, right? And learning the hard way. Yep, that's what I do. Even when it's good stuff, it still might not be the right thing. And I'm wasting time and energy when there's something better for me. I just have to be patient and wait on the Lord and trust that He's going to prepare me and lead me to the right place at the right time to do the right thing for me. So anyways, verse 13, those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. That makes sense, right? This one was confusing to me. Verse 14, a secret gift calms anger. A bribe under the table pacifies fury. That just gives me mixed signals because remember, I mean, he obviously teaches that bribes are bad, but then we read a couple Proverbs ago that he was kind of being funny or sarcastic, it seemed, right, when he talked about bribes. But here it's kind of unclear. A secret gift calms anger. A secret gift would be a bribe, I would think. Or maybe just a gift that, an anonymous gift maybe. I don't know. A bribe under the table pacifies fury. There was nothing in the Study Bible about that specific scripture. And I wasn't going to go on a manhunt because I just don't have that kind of time today. But or go down that rabbit hole, I guess. That's not really a manhunt. But you know what I mean. So that was just kind of a confusing statement to me. Okay. And then there's a couple other conflicting statements, and I just want to clarify what my Study Bible says about it because it helped me understand it better. When you have verse 18 that says the wicked are punished, oh wait, nope, that's the wrong one. 17, those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. But then down in verse 20, it says the wise have wealth and luxury. The wise have luxury? I thought you just said that those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. To continue with verse 20, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. So it's kind of a conflict, and I needed clarity. Luckily, the Study Bible did touch on that one. It says this proverb is about saving for the future. Easy credit has many people living on the edge of bankruptcy. The desire to keep up appearances and to accumulate more drives them to spend every penny they earn, and they stretch their credit to the limit. That reminds me of what Dave Ramsey says, that we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. That's kind of what that reminds me of. Okay, back to the Study Bible. It says, but anyone who spends all he has is spending more than he can afford. A wise person puts money aside for hard times. God approves of foresight and restraint. God's people need to examine their lifestyle to see whether their spending is God-pleasing or merely self-pleasing. So it's kind of a clarification on that scripture. And there is a lot. I don't Have you noticed how many proverbs there are about money? How we handle our money is really an indication of where our heart is. They say where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Something like that. Okay, verse 23, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. True that. Okay, verse 27. The sacrifice of an evil person is detestable, especially when it is offered with wrong motives. That makes me think of Cain and Abel. We know that the brothers, that were the sons of Adam and Eve, the first two sons, Cain and Abel, they both offered God a sacrifice. Cain was a farmer, and so he offered God some of his crops. Abel was a shepherd, and he offered God his very best sheep. Like, I want to say, I forget how many, but anyways, it was the best of his flock. Cain kind of, it doesn't say specifically in the scripture, but you can sort of pull from the scripture and understand that what he gave was either in the wrong motive, or maybe he just gave leftovers, or kind of like less than his best, less than his very best. And maybe just out of duty or obligation, and he just didn't have the heart for it. He just did it because he had to. But maybe he had a bad attitude. Anyways, God punished Cain. And Abel was God's favorite at that time, and Cain knew it and caused, of course, a lot of trouble, as we know. But okay, so that reminds me of that. But also, I want to read this because this was really good from the study Bible. The kind of worship or sacrifice described in this proverb is no better than a bribe. See, there we are with bribes again. How do people try to bribe God? They may go to church, tithe, or volunteer, not because of their love and devotion to God, but because they hope God will bless them in return. God is not a slot machine, right? But God has made it very clear that he desires obedience and love more than religious ritual. God does not want our sacrifices of time, energy, and money alone. He wants our hearts, our complete love and devotion. We may be able to bribe people, but we cannot bribe God. Love that. Okay. The last one that I wanted to read was verse 30. It says, "No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord." If he's got a plan for you, you can be stubborn and you can resist, but he's going to get you there somehow, even if he has to break you down to do it. I want to be obedient so that he doesn't have to break me down, right? It's just easier that way. That's just me. But it makes me think of Moses, right? Because he did not want to lead the people. He kept arguing with God and saying, I mean, it was humility. He just didn't see himself in that situation. But God decides who leads. And he picks the most unlikely people. Even Moses himself really didn't want the job, right? But God made sure that he knew Moses' heart, and he knew that that would be the person that would deliver the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and Moses did it. That was God's plan. So anyways, yes, his plan is always better, and his plan will succeed. So let's not fight him. Let's just trust him, right? That's it for today. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.